Good words. Not intended only for fathers, by the way. And the sermon is not really for fathers. It's for us all. If we pay attention to the plain truth of Jesus. This is the third of four sermons that are listening to the words of our Lord. He spoke long ago. A shorter collection of his words called the Sermon on the Plain. We're probably more familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. But this one has its own good stuff in it. Good words. And this particular section is talking about judgment. Now, I think before we start out, we've got to be clear about what judgment means and what it does not mean. Strictly speaking, judgment, being a judge, is being one who is able to make a decision, to come to a decision. I think when we hear that word judgment, we tend to think of other things, but truly, judgment is an ability to be decisive. Lord knows we need to be able to be decisive. Of course, the things we make decisions on are based upon how we perceive our world, how we look at things, how we intuit things. And some of us are able to see our world very clearly through our senses, through our sight, through our touch, through our ears, through the things we smell. We are sensory persons. And others of us tend to move in a different direction. Just so you know, there are all kinds of people in this world. There are others who tend to operate by things they can't necessarily grasp with their hands. They're more in that word intuitive. We perceive our world in different ways. And yet we walk together in this life. And some of us are able to come to decisions easier than others do. We look at a particular decision to be made, like buying a car, for instance. And while some of us may make that decision based upon what we have perceived, we have done our homework, we have researched everything we need to research, we have checked up all the details about the particular car that we are hoping to buy, and we have all this information upon which we can base our decision. And we make our decision based on that. There are others of us who base our decisions upon other things, like feelings. I just like how I feel when I sit in that car. It makes me feel like a man, or it makes me feel hot, or it makes me feel whatever. We make our decision based upon our feelings. And that's okay, because we all come at things very differently. There are thinkers and there are feelers, right? And I could guess that probably you know where you fit in that. Whether you make decisions based upon what you think, or you make decisions based upon what you feel, right? Okay. Decisiveness. That's truly what judgment means. A judge who sits up in front of a courtroom needs to make a decision based upon justice. But it's still a decision. Now, what Jesus is getting at in this particular passage is not that kind of decisiveness, because we need to be decisive in this world. We do need to know what we think, and we need to know what we feel, and we need to know what we, as importantly as all of those, or more so, what we believe. Even so, there comes a point when we can become highly critical of others and make our decisions about others based upon criteria that, if we really look at it in the light of day, doesn't stand up at all. That's what Jesus is speaking to here. And he uses two particular metaphors. Did you listen to them? The first metaphor is the metaphor of, when he talked about judging, he used the metaphor of a container. a container that, and as I was trying to get into this particular scripture, the best I could do was to think about that container that was used so often back then, because they didn't wear clothes like we wear today. They wore things like robes, and this would be a particular Sunday when it would be good for the preacher to be wearing a robe, because then I could use that. But when you were carrying things back in that day, what would you use to carry, like some grain or something like that? What would you use? How would you carry it? Anyone? You use a fold. Your robe would be long enough that you would hold it up and you'd have a little container here. Do you catch what I'm saying? You'd have space for the things to put in. And Jesus, with this, was making a connection between judging and forgiveness, and between forgiveness and giving, realizing that the more you forgive, the more you give, amazing things happen. For many of these people, for many people, and I know my brother-in-law, who I just spoke with this week, this is his favorite passage of Scripture. Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken up, running over. I mean, so much. I mean, you know, and really, what Jesus then said, for the measure that you give will be the measure that you get. Well, that's not really true when it comes right down to it. From the way he has described it, it is pouring over. And it's as you're walking home with all this grain and you're up here, it's just spilling out all over the place. Are you catching this? That's the one image that Jesus uses. It's an image of abundance. And that image of abundance is one we need to bring into our view of judging, because so often we judge other people based not upon the abundance that we have, but upon our sense of scarcity, that we don't have enough, and so that we become critical. We don't have enough physically, we don't have enough emotionally, we do not have enough in other ways. We operate out of scarcity. And what Jesus was trying to say is, no, operate out of abundance. Because what God gives you is just running over and over and over. Operate out of abundance. And then he shifted over to that other image, the image of the eye. You're familiar with that passage. It's one many of us really struggle with when we come to criticism. There are people, when I think about certain passages of the Bible that can really lay down some pretty rough stuff. Passages of the Bible that can afflict the comfortable. My struggle often is that, and this goes back to John Wesley, who was a preacher a couple hundred years back, the founder of Methodism, and one of his dictums was that it was here to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. And one of my struggles always is that so often the people who are afflicted hear the words of affliction, and the people who are comfortable hear the words of comfort. Anyway, when it comes to being able to see something in somebody else that needs some discipling, we first need to look at ourselves. That's what this whole deal about. Before you get at that speck that is in your brother's eye, that blemish, first examine the log that is in your own. You know that piece of scripture. And it is grotesquely out of proportion. Did you notice that? Speck compared to a log. Little, teeny, tiny, big. Need to pay attention with the log. Now, I do know that there are many of us, myself included, who tend to really see the log all that well. I mean, and it's big and it's out of proportion and it gets in the way. And many of us need to move past that log and be able to see clearly another person. But there are others of us who are oblivious to the log that's in their own eye, to your own faults. And to be able to correct another person, you first need to look at your own faults. Pay attention to yourself first before you go after somebody else. Is that not what Scripture teaches us? Pay attention to the log. Seek to see past your own log. Not pretending that it's not there. That does not mean that as I like this image of somebody looking through their hands, you know, that's up there. You're not trying to pretend that this is not here, that the log is not there. Some of us do all that good a job of doing that, of just being ignorant of our own faults. But others of us need to be working at moving past. Because, Pete, we need one another. We're not in this alone. Jesus walks with us, but we are here for one another. And this is true for friendship. This is true for marriage. This is true for families, for interactions between parents and children, fathers and children, especially fathers and older children. That's where I'm at right now. But you know where you fit into that category. But remember what I said first. Those two images. The latter being the image of the eye, the first one being the image of the container, which is overflowing and abundance. Operate out of the abundance that is yours in God through Jesus Christ. You have been given riches beyond measure. Live out of that abundance. Because it's only really living out of that abundance that we can move past the law, that we can forgive the foolish ways in which we walk.